This program is intended for mature audiences only. This is part two of a two-part podcast. If you'd like part one, you'll find it at personallifemedia.com.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part two of a two-part series on why Mars and Venus collide. And now we've been hearing all about why Mars and Venus collide in part one. So now we get to focus on how we kind of get some sexy solutions together. We've got a much better idea as to why men and women are different, and even why they wind up at cross purposes. So let's find out what they can do about it when they want to come closer together again. I'd like to welcome back our distinguished guest, Dr. John Gray.
See, the more a woman feels seen and heard and touched and loved, these things stimulate oxytocin. See, what that does, it brings a woman back to her own personal preferences. That's the part of her which is literally the weakest in women. They're always thinking about what everybody else thinks, what everybody else wants, what everybody else needs. So it brings her back to just a growing awareness of what she likes. Silence is the best thing to let him know nothing's happening. And then you can move his hand somewhere and make a positive sound, like that, something like that. And that gives him the feedback he needs. Men really, really appreciate that kind of feedback.
Two words or less.
A practical sense. More than two words requires blood flow to the brain. And he doesn't have enough blood to go to the brain and down south at the same time.
Welcome, Dr. Gray.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. It's a real pleasure to be on your show again.
Oh, it is absolutely my highest, most delighted pleasure to have you. So I want to tell our guests just join a little bit about Dr. Gray. Of course, hopefully you'll listen to part one. But Dr. John Gray is the best-selling relationship author of all time, including the very sexy Mars and Venus in the Bedroom. And his newest book just out is Why Mars and Venus Collide. So we're going to go on. He is a seminar leader for over 30 years, and he does have a business linking better health and nutrition, and we will talk a little bit about that, too, at the end today. So I'm really excited to hear about that as well. How does that lead to a richer and more fulfilling love life? Well, let's get started. So I want to find out, in terms of passion, let's talk about first what the man can do to be a better lover to a woman. Because as we said, first the man has to give the woman the oxytocin to have her feel full.
Exactly. Well, oxytocin is this hormone that we're learning in most of the research over the last 6 years that lowers cortisol levels for women. And when cortisol levels drop for women, that's when they have the capacity to respond sexually the most. What's ironic is, you know, we have all different variations of sexuality, and what they're finding with oxytocin is that when a woman feels nurtured and safe and supported, her oxytocin levels gradually increase. And that increases her sexual responsiveness to where then she's capable of having orgasm and orgasms, all due to an abundance of this hormone, oxytocin. Oxytocin was first learned to be what causes contractions to push the baby out. Then they realize it's the contractions that cause orgasm to occur. That's a release of oxytocin in her body. So she needs a certain buildup. And it's a sense of safety, a sense of understanding, a sense of connection, a sense of cooperation. All of these things, they're little things that add up that actually create more oxytocin for her to become more in the mood. And men are just oblivious of that, because for men to be in the mood, it's generally they need the hormone testosterone to be produced. And, you know, I mean, real blanket, simple truth is I don't even need my wife to turn my testosterone levels up. I can just fix something that I think is going to make her really happy. You know, I was doing the plumbing the other day and had this great fixed job, and it was quite, you know, difficult and challenging and whatever. But afterwards, because I succeeded, my testosterone levels were shooting up, and I'm ready to have sex.
I can relate to that.
So exactly. So a guy doesn't necessarily understand a lot of the hormone differences between women. And so you have to show some attention to her. She's been busy thinking about other people all day long. She needs some time to come back to feeling herself. And it's in what she feels, what she thinks, what she needs, what she wants, what she likes. And what she likes is often at the end of the list. And even if you look at the physiology of this, you know, the most sensitive area in a woman's body where there's, you know, millions of nerve endings go to one little point, which is the clitoris. And for a man, it's the penis. And the penis is, you know, what, 100,000 times bigger if you actually look at the size of things in terms of volume. For a man, it's this throbbing, pulsing, me kind of a thing. And for women, it's like, it's a whole art to getting her to that place where she can feel me, and what I like, what I want, what I need. And so it's the art of relaxing her and comforting her and supporting her. And so what you need to know, for men to know, is that the most powerful way to produce that oxytocin to help women get to the place where maximum arousal is possible and automatic, what women need is conversation. If you can listen to a woman talk, and often when she talks about problems, and when she's done talking about problems, say, tell me more, and ask some questions, the more she shares about how she feels, the more open she becomes, the more responsive she can become. And doing little things without her having to ask. Now, ideally, if he doesn't do little things, if women want to create romance, they need to ask. But when men can anticipate a woman's wishes, needs, and wants, and suggest things, do things, offer things to assist her in supporting her needs, not big needs, little things, this has an amazing effect on her in the long run and in the short run in terms of producing the oxytocin for her to be responsive.
Now, I have a question for you. Does the oxytocin affect the part of your nervous system, the parasympathetic part of your nervous system?
Well, what's happening is elevated stress is stimulating your sympathetic nervous
system.
Which
is the part that's getting you all wired and
that's
and
right, worrying,
nervous.
Concerned, and yeah. Thinking about others and so
okay.
forth.
Okay, so elevated stress is getting you all frizzed out and nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
And the parasympathetic nervous system is when your oxytocin levels are being stimulated, your cortisol levels start to drop as the oxytocin activates your parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay, so this is very significant then, because then the contractions that you're feeling with the oxytocin then are the orgasmic contractions that are going to be wave after wave of pleasure that you would be feeling through your whole body if you were relaxed enough. You would actually be going into just these waves of pleasure, right?
Exactly.
And this would be an expanded orgasmic state if you were open enough and had enough oxytocin going through your body, right?
That's right. You have to actually, you need a man who has the patience and the understanding and the skill to deliver a lot of that. But even if he did have all that, if she doesn't actually have the oxytocin in her body, she can't have that.
Now, is it just conversation, or are there other ways too?
Oh, that's just one of the most powerful ways.
Okay.
Is talking about your feelings. See, the more a woman feels seen and heard and touched and loved, these things stimulate oxytocin. So massage, for example, and in the beginning of the massage, the non-sexual massage is a major oxytocin producer. And then as it moves into sexual massage, erotic massage, then it becomes also a major oxytocin producer. But the amount of stimulation needs to be consistent with the amount of oxytocin she's got in her body. If she's only got 10% oxytocin, then to be erotic is a turnoff. But if she's up at 80% oxytocin, then erotic stimulation is a big turn on and produces more oxytocin. So it's got to be a gradual build. You can't jump the gun with this. And so you start with a foot massage, say, in a conversation, eye contact, you know, when she's talking. This is a major thing. Men don't realize the power of this. Just not saying anything while she's talking about her day or how she feels and maintaining eye contact while she's doing it. She feels seen and heard, understood. understood, and this has a huge impact. It can also just be physical contact has been proven, like a massage has been proven to be a major oxytocin producer. So, a warm-up before he even becomes erotic is to give her a massage is a real key thing. Shopping is a key thing, which is all you're doing is looking at things she would like. You know, when Bonnie and I go on romantic getaways, you know, it often involves, you know, some little town somewhere, and we start looking at all the shops. And we're not even going to buy anything. I mean, we've got everything. But just that she can look around and think, oh, I could get this for so-and-so or what I like and what people are buying. And see, what that does, it brings a woman back to her own personal preferences. That's the part of her which is literally the weakest in women. They're always thinking about what everybody else thinks, what everybody else wants, what everybody else needs. So it brings her back to just a growing awareness of what she likes. Also, not being rushed. When I take my wife out on a date, you know, I always try to plan 15 extra minutes I don't even tell her about. So that if there's a traffic jam or something, I can say, no problem, I buffered this with an extra 10 minutes. And she feels like, oh, he's so considered, he's so caring, he's thinking ahead, he's thinking about me. And that sense of non-rush also assists her in creating oxytocin.
Well, that does it. I'm buying a case of your books, and I'm giving them to every man I know. They don't need to talk to me anymore. I'm just handing them this book. You've hit every one of those things that I would want exactly on the nose. Now I have another question for you.
Well, let me make one comment on that.
Oh, please.
What's relevant about this is why a book is helpful is, you know, I was just in Denmark, and the guy said, well, what's new about this, John? We all know women want more romance. And I go, what's new about this is it creates a context to understand why these little things that men often think are not important are important. And when it suddenly, when a man can recognize, at least intellectually, he gets, oh my gosh, I've been ignoring all these things because I thought it was no big deal. Because for him, it's no big deal.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked what you said was when you said just the way you laid it out about the oxytocin, when they don't have very much, they can't handle the erotic, you know.
That's right.
You need to give, you can't fill up Shea Stadium when someone has a cup the size of a thimble and offer them Shea Stadium, they're not going to want it. You know, you need to offer them a thimble amount if that's what they have. And I think if a woman has enough, you know, because of her stress, has enough to handle a thimbleful, that's what you offer, and you start there, and that's what you're saying.
That's
don't
exactly
offer
it.
Too much.
Don't offer too much.
And
exactly.
And you make it very clear, you know, and I like that. And I think people need that clarity, and I think relating it to the hormones is very good because
It's the only way I could do it. I mean, there's so many ideas when I wrote Men Are From Mars. I said there's no way I can bring this out to the public because it would sound so sexist. Because, you know, even the amount of differences I did point out, people were always saying, where's the research, where's the research? And were very critical of my work until it just became so popular because it's what I always said. I said, look, you don't have to research for this. You just have to be married.
Yeah.
You see that this is common sense.
But now I do have a question for you. How about women that take a little bit of testosterone? I mean, to supplement. That's okay, isn't it? I mean, later on in life.
First of all, let's look at taking hormones. There's no research at all, which is on any of these taking hormones in terms of the long effects, except the research which has been done, which shows that it was not beneficial to women. There was the cancer study that was done. I mean, there was the women who were taking the menopausal hormones, and they had to stop the study because they were all getting the 50% were getting breast, 30% were getting breast cancer. Now it turns out it was 50%. They couldn't detect it. And now it turns out they've just found, this is not yet for the news, they're waiting to bring this out, but the research has been done at Stanford, that these people who are doing hormones are having early onset Alzheimer's and dementia. So I caution anybody, from my humble opinion, to take any hormones, particularly when you can get the same effect trying something else. And there are all these wonderful, natural, herbal products that will allow your body to make an abundance these healthy, beneficial hormones. It is testosterone certainly does create in women a desire to have sex, but it doesn't give them the potency to respond sexually. But testosterone in a woman does create more of a desire, so she's thinking about it more. But you can easily increase a woman's, you have to ask, well, why does she have low testosterone in the first place? She will also always have low oxytocin, in my experience, because what's keeping her from having an abundance of hormones is elevated cortisol levels. Remember, that's a stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
When cortisol levels are elevated, then that means that the body stops making a hormone called DHEA. The adrenal gland pumps out sympathetic action. When that's happening, it stops making testosterone. It stops making, for women, the oxytocin and the estrogen and the progesterone and all the hormones that women need and how they have to balance them. It goes out of balance when women are under chronic stress. The remedy for this is to lower their stress levels. But if you want to look at the physical remedies, which, again, I have my program where I'm talking about physical remedies all the time to balance these psychological and behavioral remedies we're talking about today, there's one simple product if a woman wants to increase her testosterone levels, which is you just go and you buy right in the health food stores. It's very common today. There's an herb from China, which is called, and it's also can be found in America too, Epimedium. Epimedium, and the slang term for that is horny goat weed. Horny goat weed, Epimedium, it's a grass that grows in the hillsides, and they found that when the goats were on those hills that they had lots of sex. And clinical research has shown that Epimedium actually lowers cortisol levels in both men and women. They don't know why it works as an aphrodisiac, but they do know that it lowers cortisol levels. But I know why, because all the new research shows that when you lower stress levels, women's oxytocin levels will increase.
Well, that's amazing. Well, I'm sticking with the shopping and the erotic massage and all of that.
Yeah, I would skip the testosterone supplementation.
And I really want to hear what you have to say about nutrition, which means we have to go to a break because I also want to hear what you have to say to the men. So if I'm going to ask our listeners, please stay with us. We are going to take a short break to support our sponsors. And this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I am here with Dr. John Gray, and we are having a great time. You can learn more about Dr. John Gray at his website, MarsVenus.com. And I want to say he's got an hour-long program every week on wellness, as well as an hour-long program every week on relationship. And he also talks about his nutritional stuff, which we're going to also talk about pretty soon. I can't wait to find out about it. So that's a little bit about his website, MarsVenus.com. So anyway, please stay with us. We will be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about why Mars and Venus collide. Well, it doesn't seem like they have to, does it?
Well, we have collided, but we don't have to have that be conflict. That's the key. Intersection can be great sex, or it can be conflict.
Right. Well, how about women now? You know what? Women have to get men in the mood, too. What are some things that they can do?
Well, this is very age-dependent. Okay, there's very little you need to do when a man's under 35 to get him into the mood. You can certainly turn him off. And one of the things, you know, that turns a man off is messages that say that he has disappointed you, that he's not enough for you, and sexual rejection. Consistent sexual rejection several times in a row, a man just starts losing interest. So that's one aspect of it. But then the man over 35 in the West, this isn't around the world, but this is in the Western world, in the Western modern society, men's testosterone levels start dropping at 35 years old. Every year they're dropping a few percent. And this is a new phenomena. If you go to indigenous cultures, it doesn't happen, but it's due to a lot of our lifestyle stress. It's also due to our eating habits and so forth. And probably the marital habits we have as well. But men's testosterone levels will start to decline, and in which case, how do you get a man interested in sex? How do you respond to him in such a way that he becomes interested? And I know that first we'll deal with the younger women who want to make their man feel satisfied in the bed. It primarily comes from giving him the message that he's done a good job. And so what you want to make sure is that you're appropriately vocal in the bedroom. which means that if he's touching you in a way that gives you pleasure, make sure you make some sort of sound that lets him know he's doing the right thing. And here's a little thing to know is that generally when men do the right thing, then they think, okay, what should I do next? They don't realize if you're doing the right thing that you can just keep doing that. And so a woman will often feel a sense of pleasure, make a response, and then the man changes what he's doing. Might be touching a certain place, and he moves somewhere else. And if he does move somewhere else, you can always put his hand back and say, like this a lot more. And the key with men is always use really short sentences, brief comments, and they always need to be positive. You literally, the best is move his hand places and make a sound. But don't make sounds that say he did a bad job. Do sounds that said he did a good job. So if he's, you know, silence is the best thing to let him know nothing's happening. And then you can move his hand somewhere and make a positive sound, like that, something like that. And that gives him the feedback he needs. Men really, really appreciate that kind of feedback, letting him know he's doing a good job and making her happy.
How about, don't stop, don't stop.
That's it.
That's good. Okay, keep going.
Keep going. I like it.
Short sentences. Yeah.
Always short. In a practical sense, the
two words or less.
In a practical sense, more than two words requires blood flow to the brain, and he doesn't have enough blood to go to the brain and down south at the same time.
Two words or less. Don't stop, keep going.
Harder, softer, faster. That's a good thing. Okay, so that feedback is the most positive thing for a man, and that he's doing a good job, letting him know what makes you happy and so forth. And, you know, it's a delicate subject. We talked about it last time we did a show together, but it's always good to talk again, which is, you know, the most important thing for men is that when they initiate sex, that they don't feel rejected or minimized or dismissed in some way. So if you're really not in the mood and you're not interested, make sure that you give a positive response, like, that sounds like fun. Let's do it tomorrow. I know I'll be more in the mood tomorrow. I'm so stressed now. Something brief, short, and don't expect him to go, okay, great, but just let it be. And then as he's anticipating it tomorrow, then it will all come back. Now, that's one approach to solving that problem. And another one is to have a very positive attitude about quickies. You know, I wrote a whole book, Mars, Venus in the Bedroom, really to provide a context and an understanding so sex can always be a win-win for men and women. And I divided up sex in terms of quickie sex, which is kind of like junk food sex. Then there's healthy home-cooked sex, and then there's gourmet sex. And gourmet sex is basically after a romantic evening, it's lots of time, it's lots of foreplay, it's making sure she gets whatever her body's wanting and needing at that time to have her climax. Healthy home-cooked sex is, you know, like about 30 minutes, you make sure you have at least that much time. For 15, 20 minutes of foreplay, 5, 10 minutes of intercourse, and some afterglow, you know, together. And in that 15 minutes of foreplay, you're making sure that if she's in the mood for a climax, she's going to be able to have one. And that's what's important for men to get, which is sometimes women can enjoy sex and not have a climax, and other times to enjoy sex, they have to have a climax. So whereas men are very different from that, every morning they're like the sun and it rises. If they want their climax, if they're aroused, they want a climax. Women don't have to have a climax every time. And so it's sort of a discovery process for a woman. And so there shouldn't be any pressure on her to have a climax, but at the same time, there should be enough time for her to have her climax if she's in the mood for one. And then there's quickie sex, which is, it's not about her having a climax. It's not even about her having any positive responses, but it's mainly a gift for him. And that's so he doesn't feel sexually rejected ever. And basically it lasts a couple of minutes, and it's just put on some lubrication, and it's a quickie. And if you do a quickie, then a man always knows he's not going to be rejected. But what will happen is more and more he'll want the healthy home-cooked sex, and he'll be more interested in the gourmet sex. But it's also good to have the quickies. And then for the man over 35 or 40, there's also quickies for women that I recommend, which is, you know, if he's not in the mood, what she can do is just say something comforting to him, like, gee, honey, you know, you've just been so wonderful lately. I'm so turned on, but I know how hard you've been working, and you're so tired. So I'm just going to take care of myself here tonight, and I'll try to be quiet, but sometimes I get a little noisy. But I don't want you to feel any pressure. But at the same time, if at any time you want to join in, you're welcome. And what happens is that she's pleasuring herself, literally, in the presence of her partner, her hormones will start to increase. Her oxytocin levels go up. That produces pheromones. Pheromones activate his sexual impulses. And towards her getting closer and closer to the climax, it literally will wake him up, and he can then do the honors. So it becomes kind of another form of quickie, where she takes care of herself, but lets him join in at the end.
Well, all of these sound like the recipe for a great marriage or partnership.
They are. It's creating room for everybody to get what they need. It's being creative. We all have these basic needs. For women, it becomes a much stronger need for their fulfillment as they get older. For a man, it's always going to be their need. But the problem is once men hit 35, 40, they don't realize how important that need is for them. And so they miss out on it. And then they start having things like, you know, belly waste, and they start having heart attacks and all that stuff. And that's a direct response to low testosterone levels. And the Japanese did research on this and showed that when men don't have sex every week, at least, their testosterone levels will start to drop. And now their interest in sex becomes even less, and so they have less sex. And that's really the beginning of old age, is when men stop being interested in sex. And it's happening too soon for too many people. And women, we need your help. We know, you know, with the right insight and inspiration, you can keep us sexually active our whole lives.
Well, it's sad but true for both men and women. Use it or lose it.
That's it. That's right.
It's unfortunate. You know, but, you know, it's reversible, too. So use it and get it back.
It is reversible. It can come right back, which is, you know, just being a little clever in some of these approaches can help us to do that. And I don't want to in any way diminish the importance of nutrition. It's just so important.
Yes, so we're going to get right to that, and I just want to say one final comment. The thing I like about the picture you laid out there is the diversity, you know. It's not all one way. I don't always want to have an orgasm in my partner.
Right,
but
right.
You don't, I teach expanded orgasm. I was like, no, I'm not in the mood, you know. Let's just move on already. I mean, sometimes I do. I'm lucky I have that option. But, you know, I think diversity is the name of the game, and I love diversity, so I love that you painted a very diverse picture full of quickies and long, drawn-out meals and everything in between.
And I want to validate what you just said, which is, for many women listening, it's actually a breath of fresh air to hear someone who's capable of having expanded orgasm, believes in the fulfillment of that, who also sometimes doesn't want to have an orgasm, but can be very satisfied with a brief and intimate encounter with their partner they love. This is, like, so refreshing for women to hear, because they feel so pressured to fit into some mold that somebody says they should be.
I know. Well, you heard it from me. I don't always want to have an orgasm. B, I do, and I have quickies with my partner too, you know, where
yeah.
It's like, let's just fuck, you know.
Yeah. Have
and
a good
have
time.
Our day, you know. It's very nice that way, you know. It's just, what do we want in this minute? And, you know, I think guys are different than women, and it's beautiful that way. I love it. I like that guys are different, you know. Really works for me. They're always running around and doing stuff for me. I like that.
That's right. Keep them busy.
They'll live a long time and make me happy. That's how it works for me. Well, listen, we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. So please listen to them, because they support our show. And in the meantime, this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm here with Dr. John Gray. And you can learn more about Dr. John Gray at his website, marsvenus.com.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking about why Mars and Venus collide, which is also the name of John Gray's great new book, which he himself says is the most important book he's written since Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And I can see why, because it really, I would say it's the profound underpinnings and also advances to what galvanized a generation to make that the best-selling relationship book in the world. I think this is really, you know, the sort of the next generation of that, but even better. So Why Mars and Venus Collide is that book that John Gray wrote to be the successor, I believe, the true heir to that throne, wouldn't you say, John?
Well, it certainly is updated everything. You know, we live in a different world today, and we need to start reinterpreting what's going on so we can make sense of it and realize that with every challenge, the opportunities for greatness are even more.
Even from when you wrote Mars and Venus, there's so much more stress.
Oh, yeah. And what's exciting for me is I know so much more since I wrote that book. And the research which has been done on the hardwiring in our brains, the hormonal differences, the way men and women respond to things, have opened my awareness even further than all the observations I did for Men from Mars.
Well, I think a lot of your observations were accurate. Now you've just sort of gotten to see why they
That's exactly it. That's why I made it Why Mars and Venus Collide.
Right. Well, one of the things I think is so exciting about you is you really are sort of a very dedicated, fierce kind of researcher, a brilliant mind. I don't think people probably who are very familiar with you maybe know that about you, this kind of insane, fierce intelligence about you that's penetrating and never ending, but that has led you not only into hormonal research, which is very, very complex and scientific. It's not lightweight stuff, so I really respect that. But not only that, but also nutrition. So I would be so excited if you would share with us why this has also become your passion.
Well, it's so important. Once you start realizing one of the symptoms of stress, we've been talking about stress and how it takes its toll on our relationships and our sex life. Well, with stress will always be linked to excessive blood flow in the brain and the emotional part of the brain. When we're under stress, there's going to be more blood flow to the emotional part of the brain. That causes us to feel distressed. Then the brain will stimulate, will release serotonin to relax that part of the brain, and it will relax the blood flow, and then we start to feel better again. To make serotonin to cope with the stress, we need to have stable blood sugar. If, let's say, the brain has learned, and the brain learns this, it says, okay, if I'm under stress, let me talk about the stress. This is for a woman, the way her brain's wired up. Let me talk about what I'm upset about. Talking about what I'm upset about will stimulate serotonin production, and then that part of the brain becomes relaxed. But what if she's now used up her serotonin that she's produced in the morning, and she needs to make more serotonin? She'll talk in order to stimulate the production of serotonin. But if her blood sugar is not balanced, meaning if she doesn't have stable blood sugar, then she can't make serotonin. So then she feels like she's not getting enough out of the conversation. She'll keep talking and talking. And then when she doesn't get enough, then she'll just keep thinking about it over and over and over. And that's called obsessive thinking that women will fall into. They'll just keep thinking about this over and over and over. Some men will get into it who are low in serotonin, but particularly women. It's about 10 times more women. And they will then start to have this sort of chronic thinking, chronic stress state. And the solution to it is to be able, as I mentioned before, if she can talk and share about what's going on in her life, then suddenly serotonin gets produced and she'll become more relaxed and remember all the good things. But if her blood sugar's low, then she'll keep talking and talking and talking, and she won't be able to make the serotonin. So it becomes imperative then to stabilize blood sugar. So then I start searching all the possible ways to stabilize blood sugar. And it turns out, first of all, the symptoms so that people can recognize this, besides obsessive thinking, it's whenever you eat a meal and you feel tired later, or 2 hours later you start to feel a slump, that means you don't have stable blood sugar. And this is becoming very common today. It didn't used to be this way, but it used to be that you'd eat a meal and you have plenty of energy for 4 to 5 hours. Now people eat a meal, and some people feel tired right after the meal. Other people feel tired a few hours later and then are then looking for an energy drink. They're looking for a soft drink. They're looking for, you know, some kind of snack food or whatever, because the meal didn't do it. The meal didn't stabilize their blood sugar. So the problem is not just health. The problem is also not enough serotonin. It turns out the University of Toronto in Canada has been researching the effects of certain fibers on blood sugar, and they found that the combination of three fibers, konjac root, alginate, and xanthan gum, when combined at a certain temperature, dramatically increase their individual potency to stabilize blood sugar. So it becomes like a super fiber, and it's a viscous fiber. Not all fibers are the same, but it's a viscous fiber that absorbs water and also holds back the release of carbohydrates into your bloodstream so it's not quickly released, but almost like a time release of carbohydrates into your bloodstream. So throughout the day, you always have enough sugar to make serotonin to help you cope with stress. So I see it as imperative for people, if they want emotional and mental well-being as well as unlimited energy to cope with life stresses, they need to have stable blood sugar. And so the name of the brand, it's been out for years, this product. Nobody knows about it. It's just a big kept secret, but it's called PGX. It's a company called Natural Factors has made it available to the public. There's some other companies finally are making copies of it. But PGX is the form which is out there. I even carry it at my website. You know, I want everybody to know about it. It's a fantastic product, PGX. And you can also add a little 5-HTP, which is the extract of Grifonia seed from Africa, and make plenty of serotonin. 5-HTP will convert right into serotonin. It's been proven in clinical research to be more effective than antidepressants, yet nobody knows about it. It's a cheap little herb from Africa, an extract of seeds, and Grifonia seeds with balanced blood sugar, and suddenly you're making an abundance of serotonin. So I make that available at my website as well, though you can get that at health food stores. You have, for men who run out of dopamine, as women run out of serotonin, men tend to run out of dopamine, which is what makes them focused and interested in the relationship, as we talked before, helps men feel inspired and motivated when they have plenty of dopamine. And there's something called the velvet bean from Brazil, and you can take the extract of velvet bean, and it's all natural. It's an extract, and it converts right into dopamine. And then men have more focus, more interest, and so forth, as long as they also have balanced blood sugar. So I combine those two things together and tell people, take this, and it will help your relationships. So suddenly we're starting to see that nutrition can have a dramatic effect on our relationships, because food has a huge effect in helping us to cope with stress effectively or not effectively.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, can the women take the velvet bean, too?
No, they don't need it.
Oh.
Women can, but they don't really need it. When they don't have that motivation, inspiration, the first thing you want to deal with women is to help their female side.
Uh-huh.
And then automatically they go into balance with their male side. You know, in a few rare cases, a woman might need more dopamine. But typically, if you're a woman and you have that feeling that, oh, I have so much to do and I don't have time, that's because you have too much dopamine.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to be taking more dopamine, which is one of the problems with diet drinks. Diet drinks have something called phenylalanine, which is a chemical substance that will actually convert straight into dopamine, which is why they become addictive. It causes us to feel pleasure in the brain, but it lowers serotonin. So one of the worst things for women today is all those diet drinks, because it will lower their serotonin levels and increase their stress levels, and it makes them addicted to it.
Uh-huh. Now, I notice on your site you also recommend cleanses.
Oh, I think ultimately we live in a big toxic society, and, you know, like plastic bottles for the water we drink and plastic packaging, just the plastics, they're filled with estrogens. All pesticides are filled with estrogens. These are called xenoestrogens. And what people have to know is estrogen is the fat-storing hormone. So the more estrogens you get in your body, the more your body stores fat. And also estrogens push down testosterone, which makes us both less interested in sex. And we have all these extra estrogens in our body. We have to be able to get rid of them. And one of the most powerful ways to get rid of them is short cleansing fasts. And I teach people how to have a liquid diet for 1 or 2 days, how to prepare for it, how to complete it. And I call that my Mars Venus cleansing diet. And we even have a free ebook on how people can cleanse the body. And, you know, I do wellness retreats at my ranch for 4 days where I take a group of 40 people through a cleanse. And the average weight loss is 6 to 7 pounds. Not that we're doing it to lose weight. We're doing it to cleanse our bodies so our brains work better. So it's like a brain cleanse. You know, people think of cleansing as like a colon cleanse. This is not a colon cleanse. It's a whole body cleanse, particularly a brain cleanse, to help the body get rid of these extra estrogens and heavy metals that interfere with optimal function.
Well, I know we've just touched on some of these things here, but I'm very excited to hear about the PGX, the natural factors. I've never heard of that before. The 5-HTP I've been familiar with for a long time. I don't know. You haven't written a book on the nutrition yet, have you?
Well, I have written the book, The Mars-Venus Diet and Exercise Solution.
Oh, so then you can find out about it in there, right?
It definitely gives you a variety of recipes that I have in that book. And right now, just so that people know, it's actually selling, I think, for a dollar at my website. We're doing for a few months, the Mars-Venus Relationship Initiative, which is anybody for their library or for their, you know, for crisis centers, for counseling centers, or for individuals in need. I made a large portion of my products all for free for people to come and use these resources because we're under a lot of stress today and we need more help. And so that's available at my website. People click on right at the very top. It says the Mars-Venus Relationship Initiative.
Wow, that's really amazing. Well, I absolutely think that people should come and check this out. I'm going to spend some time looking this over. We are coming to the end of the show. I can't thank you enough. I would like to invite you to leave us with an inspirational thought of some kind or another before we close out the show.
Well, I think that I was helping some couples. I'm actually writing a book now called Living in the Empty Nest. And, you know, couples who thinking about getting divorced, should we stay together? The kids are grown up. And a question that comes up, is sex really that important? And because many people, they've lost that sexual connection. They've lost that passion together. They don't know how to bring it back. And they want to just be friends and continue on. And that's certainly the easy route, but it just doesn't work today. And sex is that important. Today we're under more stress than ever before, and having a sustained, passionate, loving sex life is one of the most powerful ways to help both men and women cope with the enormous amount of stress in our busy lives. And it's for our health, it's for our happiness, it's for our connection. It's a possibility that exists in front of us today, but it takes a new level of understanding. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a skill. It takes knowledge. It takes, you know, listening to shows like this, which talk about, you know, expanded lovemaking. It's a knowledge about life. It's a wisdom that we have to seek out to find the answers for and put into practice through our experience. And if it doesn't work the first time, don't give up. Keep going at it, because this is what's going to make our lives more rich and more fulfilled, but also make this a better world, because collisions are happening everywhere. And when our most intimate collisions between men and women can be successful, that provides a foundation for creating love and peace throughout the whole world.
Wow. Well, from my heart to yours, it's been a joy to be in the presence of your mastery and your genius. And I, on behalf of all my listeners, I just deeply, deeply thank you for sharing as you have.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a real pleasure for me, too.
So I'm going to close the show on this note. One more time, I invite all our listeners to explore what John Gray has to say at MarsVenus.com and in his book, Why Mars and Venus Collide, and his other great number of works. He's written 16 books. And one more thing, I do have a survey out to find out who's listening to our show. It will help us bring great sponsors to our show. Go to survey.personallifemedia.com. That's all you have to do. It's fast. It's easy. It takes like 5 minutes. I filled it out, so I probably skewed it off to some crazy direction. You can, too, if you take it. And then, you know, that's our show. That's us, right? So please fill it out. Anyway, thank you all for listening. That breath does bring us to the end of the show. Please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. And for text and transcripts of this show and other shows, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. Also, please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and that's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.